Orale! Primos, it is the Familia FFP podcast. ¿Cómo estamos, everybody? It is time. We are live, and es tiempo para football, everybody. Es el tiempo para football. ¿Cómo estamos? Heck, how are you doing, baby?
I'm great, man. Ready to go. I'm in two leagues this year. So, ready to go. I'm keeping track of like fantasy baseball still, which I'm in the hunt for playoffs. So excited about that. But yeah, fantasy football ready, man. Super ready.
Oh, gotta love it, Primo. Got to love it. I think I lost count at like 15 leagues this year. I kept getting invited. And I actually finished a draft just now. And, And it's just like, oh my goodness! I got invited to one yesterday to say, you know, I got a DM message in Twitter from our amigos from Mexico and said, hey, you want to join this league? I'm like, all right, vámonos. So I've done two leagues that are primarily in Mexico, one that is international with people from Ireland. So, It's loco, but it's, you know what, gosh, I mean, it's here. I know. I'm glad that football is here for one reason. Number one, we've been working at this for like 7 months now. So, since the Super Bowl ended.
Yes.
And then, number two, the season has to start so I could stop getting invited to more leagues.
There you go. How many are you in?
I think it's over 15. and wow. if you count like best ball stuff, I'm like 25 or something like that.
Hey, man.
And I know people that are like that did like 100 best ball drafts, and it was just ay Dios mío, it was locos en la cabeza. But we are locos for the NFL. It's so cool. It is so cool. So tomorrow, empieza mañana. Vamos a empezar mañana.
Couple of injuries though, right?
Yeah, a couple injuries. And let me see, is Ricky almost here? No, so Ricky, we're going to save one for when he's that one, ese, porque eso duele. But the surprise of all surprises, Carson Wentz is expected. So let's get in. Let's do cheese. Yeah, come on. Let's do a proper intro to cheese.
Let's drink to, this is our first show officially after we've drafted Primo. So cheers to you. Best of luck. Buena suerte for this coming season. And I hope I beat you.
I think we play each other. I think we play each other right off the bat.
In both of our leagues, I play, man. So, hey, there it is. That's, what a way to start, right? That means it's gonna play you twice, right? Like in a regular season.
It was amazing. I had nothing to do with that one.
It's just dumb luck, as they say.
Yeah. Hey, our buen amigos who are joining us on either Periscope, YouTube, or Facebook Live, please feel free to throw comments in here. We will do our best to answer. I mean, I see some quite a few people are already listening, and it's just gracias, muchas gracias, everybody, for joining us. Yes, so you know, Carson Wentz, I was ready for 12 weeks. For the rest in rehab, and which would have put like October 24th, I think, is the date that we were looking at. And now here we are. He was a full participant in practice today, and it looks like he is going to start on Sunday.
Yeah,
te lo digo, eso está loco.
A lot of healing going on, even with our cousin Rick. We'll let him speak on the healing that's going on.
Oh, yes. Gracias a Dios.
A lot of positive healing going on. Right now.
So much positive healing. But now all of a sudden, you know, so all of a sudden, it's funny. Like I drafted him on a couple of super flex leagues. And it's kind of like, oh, wow, this is I could actually have him play for my team. So,
yeah.
I mean, So
I mean, if you, yeah, I mean, every, I think every Superflex league's got Carson Wentz out there, right? Right. So
he's out there. I think he's. I think he's my third quarterback on every Superflex league where I have him.
Well,
so.
Good for you that you got him, man. Good thing you got him because he's going to surprise some people. I think he's going to do well. He's going to do real well over there with, you know, the coaching staff that they have over there. He's reunited with his. With his head coach now, who used to be his offensive coordinator back in Philadelphia, right? What's his name again? I keep forgetting.
Frank Reich.
Yeah, I always remember Frank Reich because he made that crazy comeback in the Buffalo Bills. The fourth quarter, he scored like he has a record, right? He scored like 31 points in the fourth quarter to come back. Something crazy. I always remember him for that.
35. It was 35-3. The Houston Oilers were up on the Buffalo Bills, and Frank Reich was the backup to Jim Kelly.
The Jim Kelly, right?
The future Hall of Famer, you know, the Hall of Famer, one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah.
And he was just not having a day. They brought in Reich, and he came back and took him all the way back. To make a 38-35 victory. I mean,
go figure. Thurman Thomas and all those guys, and Cornelius Bennett, right, was on the defense there. And Bruce Smith, right, was also on the defense there.
Yep.
I remember those guys because we used to play Madden, like Madden 92, I think it was. I'm aging myself. And I'm playing Madden 92 and on, like, Sega Genesis. I'm an old fart, man, for remembering. You know, and that was like you back then you wanted to be the Bills, you know, because they had those guys – and Bruce Smith, if you line him up on the top and you line Cornelius Bennett on the other side, and they would just come around and get you sacks all day. So I remember you always wanted the Bills defense when you were playing Madden 92.
All day long.
There's guys playing Madden right now, like, man, I wasn't even born yet, man. Sega Genesis, Madden 92. If you have a chance to check out the YouTube videos on what that used to look like. And that was it was like Tecmo Bowl, but like it was like finally flipped to the way that it is now, like up and down. It was like that was a game changer, you know, John Madden and just that the whole EA Sports thing, the way that they completely changed it. And to this day, you know, that's how video games for football video games are played, north south. So it's totally changed the game from Tecmo Bowl, which was left right, and it was pretty cool, pretty good stuff.
That's just so funny. Just so funny to remember that. But you know
days.
What? So it's Frank. But now getting back to Carson Wentz, Frank Reich is now his quarterback guru. Yeah. And from what, from my interview with Zach Kiefer, the beat writer for The Athletic, who covers the Colts, he was talking about the fact how different the team looked. Different for the better it looked with Wentz in training camp, in OTAs and mini camp. And how they were doing things that they were not doing since Andrew Luck was there. Mm-hmm, now, mm-hmm. We're not expecting Andrew Luck.
No one's expecting Andrew Luck.
but there are some question marks. The offensive line is still a little bit banged up. Eric Fisher is still question mark, coming off the Achilles heel. Quentin Nelson, who had the same exact surgery a day later than Carson Wentz, he still hasn't been cleared for full practice. So, I think those two will go to play, but are they going to be a little bit less than 100%? Think it's – I know NBC Sports Edge talked about the fact that it's going to be a good thing for Jonathan Taylor, and I agree. And I got him. I've got him on several leagues. I didn't get him in the Familia League, so I'm a little.
I was lucky enough to get him at number 8. So number 8.
Muy cierto, muy cierto. But when I look at when I think about him, I think he's going to do great. I think I'm curious what this is going to do to like Michael Pittman.
I was just going to say that I think Pittman's going to have a great year. Carson Wentz stays healthy back there. And Taylor's going to open up the offense, and Pittman, I think he's in line to be the next guy. So
yeah, Pittman's going to be there. Pittman definitely. Paris Campbell, he was limited in practice today. There's so much talk about what he's going to do in the offense, how they're going to open it up to him. And they need a healthy Carson Wentz. I remember Kiefer talking when we did the interview back in June. He talked about the fact that they could start off a little bit slow because of how just that it just kind of working into the system, working in the new system. So vamos. We and they do get off. You know, with the first five games, they're playing all teams that went to the playoffs, that won at least 10 games and went to the playoffs. So they're playing good teams right off the bat. So don't be surprised.
For sure.
So another one, kind of a little bit, me hace cosa a little bit, is over in New York, Saquon Barkley, Kenny Golladay, Kadarius Toney, all limited in practice today.
And that's kind of surprising. I mean, the preseason ended, what, 2 weeks ago? Is that where we are right now? It just seems odd that preseason ends and, you know, a lot of these guys were, you know, had, you know, he had very limited roles in preseason, you know, a couple snaps here. And then here we are, it's ready to go week one NFL season. And guys are already limited. I mean, like, is it just injuries that happen in practice, or is it just being careful, or why the limits? Why, you know, why are these injuries creeping up all of a sudden magically this week?
Well, Kenny G, I think it's just been a progression.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
I think Saquon, I think they're being careful with him. So I think they're not pushing him. I think they want to save him for Sunday. There's, you know, there's the big debate. How much work is he going to get this week?
Yeah, we're going to find out
how much. So no seven. Kadarius Toney, he was limited in that was kind of a lingering thing with him as well. So that is something that to kind of monitor. Kenny G himself even said he wouldn't be surprised if they got off to a slow start. So it's. I've been fading this offense so much.
Yeah. I think most people have. I didn't pick any, I wasn't even targeting any Giants on any of my teams at all.
Saquon, I got him on a couple of teams.
Okay.
Just because, but I really only got him at a value. I mean, in one super flex league, I got him at the start of the third round. I mean, which was just ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Yesterday I actually had the number 12 pick in the Manada Bowl. Hashtag Manada Bowl. Orale, amigos Adrián and Chato and Mauricio and Yaka. And I passed on him twice. I actually went Nick Chubb and Nick Chubb and Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, so, I would take both of those guys before I would take Saquon, for sure.
A little bit. You know, the thing with and I'm completely with our compadre, you know, Dr. Edwin Porras, that I believe he's going to be fine. I don't like the offense. I don't like the line. That has me worried about him this year. So I'm just kind of looking at when it comes to Saquon Barkley, I'm thinking next year for him. It'll be the full year removed from the knee surgery. They always say that second year coming off the knee surgery is the better year. But you know, don't tell that to Adrian Peterson, because he did his coming off.
He won't believe you.
he did his off of a fresh ACL.
Yes.
But again, it's something that we just need to keep an eye on. Another thing to keep an eye on, and this one gives me tremendous amount of pause, Curtis Samuel. He pulled up in practice today, running a route, and you know, it wasn't like it was on air. He just was not, you know, there was no defenders on him or anything. And this is something that Edwin has been kind of keeping an eye on. This is a groin injury that's really limited Samuel for 2 months. And
wow.
So, you know, it's limited in practice. It seems
pretty serious if it's been 2 months, and even today he's coming up limp. So that's very concerning.
I look at him and I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I'm a little worried.
Or a lot worried.
I have him on I drafted him in a couple of teams where we drafted in July. So a lot of industry and expert drafts. So grabbed him down the line. So luckily I'll probably be able to put him on IR or something like that. So
Right.
I don't know. Oh my goodness. Well, we got our last bit of advice. I really wanted Ricky to be on here. So we may actually, you know what? We'll save this one. Okay, we'll save this one.
We'll get Rick's hot take on it.
We'll get his thoughts because it has to do with the Chargers, as you can imagine, familia. So yeah. I look at him and I expect Ricky to have some comments. Oh, here he is, actually.
Yeah. Speak of the devil.
Speak of the devil. Primo, ¿cómo estás?
What were you guys saying?
We're talking about Austin Eckler.
Oh, I mean, it's a little – I have him in our league, don't I?
I think you do. But you saw that he missed practice today, and it was because of a hamstring.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more precautionary. It's definitely concerning because it's not like, oh, this is new. It's like it happens yearly. But, I mean, when he does play, he's a top 8 running back. So it's like you're just hoping he's in there. And it sucks. What really sucks is that there's no clear-cut number 2. It's not like, oh, I could pick up, you know, Jackson, and right away Jackson gets a little spot. It's going to be running back by committee. And I just – it's like, who do you pick up? Do you get Joshua Kelly? Do you get the new rookie Roundtree? It's just – it's a crappy situation if you're an owner for Eckler. Just no clear-cut number 2. It's not like Gus Edwards where all of a sudden Gus Edwards is worth gold. So that's what I'm hating on right now.
Yeah, you know, our friends, the compas on the beat, you know, Gilbert Manzano and Fernando Ramirez, they had talked about the fact that they expected that this would be a full-blown committee, kind of like the way San Francisco does it, that just rides the hot hand and just who's the guy who's going well right now? It could be Kelly, and there's no way to know until game time. So there's no way to predict it other than Austin Eckler. And I still think that when it comes down to it, one of those three guys not named Eckler is going to get the goal line carries. And it might actually be Justin Herbert on some of those too. So
you think even if Eckler's healthy, that's how it's going to be?
I think even if Eckler's healthy, I don't see him.
He showed that. Herbert showed that a lot last year. That guy is just he's fearless.
I think he ran to a fault. That guy
will take a hit for sure.
I think he did Cinco.
I don't want him to get hurt. He's our heart.
I know. Me neither. Right, I know. He's on my team. I don't want him to do that, but he that's what he does. He likes to do that.
I look at him and I just I think one of the other guys, Justin Jackson, has shown the propensity to get into the end zone. So I think he's going to be the first one, but he's had injury issues too. And so I think it's really something to monitor on a week to week basis. I have Joshua Kelly early on. I grabbed him on a lot of early teams, like 2 or 3 teams.
Be right back. I'm getting Dominic from the outside. I'll be right back.
Fabian. I look at him and I just think that it could be Justin Jackson. I had Joshua Kelly, but then I didn't really like the way he looked in preseason.
No one likes the way he looks at all right now. And he's even looking like a fourth running back because people are really high up on Roundtree.
Roundtree is definitely, yeah. He showed a lot. He showed a little bit more than Joshua Kelly did. So it's, vamos a ver. Vamos a ver. They all made the team, so that's a good thing that we don't have to worry about that. But yeah, I think we're going to have to keep an eye on this situation, especially if Eckler gets hurt. Some industry people that I'm in a networking, the several guys that were on the show last week, people were saying, well, maybe they need to sign Latavius Murray. And I was like, oh, man, no. Just to make it that much more complicated. Muy complicado.
I just want him to be healthy.
Get them completely healthy. How fired up are you, baby? How fired up are you? How many?
Really excited. I'll feel it more Sunday. That's how I am. But I mean, I only have one player going tomorrow, and that's Zeke, because I really don't like the Cowboys and I really don't like the Bucks. So I tried to avoid them like the plague. So I kept my social distance from them. But I think I don't even know what I have. But I mean, I'm so excited. Sunday, I'm just going to be laying in my PJs all day watching it. I have 6 leagues. And I started a challenge in one of my leagues. Every week, we're going to put in $10 in the pot. And the challenges will be like this week, it's going to be whoever's team makes the most touchdowns. Then the following week's going to be whoever has the, like, basically you add your longest rushing touchdown and your longest receiving touchdown, and whoever has the highest total wins the pot. This way, every week, even if your team is crappy, everyone still has a chance to win a little money. It makes it a little bit more fun. It adds a kicker to it, since I hate the kickers. We'll add a little kicker bet.
Oh, man. I was telling Heck before you jumped on, I think I'm up around 15 leagues right now.
And oh, my God.
So I have everybody. What's funny is, you know, considering what I've got in here, I do have Dak in our Familia League, and Dak and CeeDee Lamb. I have Brady on a couple of teams. I have Antonio Brown on a couple of teams. I have Chris Godwin on a couple of teams. I avoided the running backs completely in Tampa Bay. That was one thing that for sure I did. I don't like that.
You have to have both of them if you're going to have one of them. Just like in Arizona, if you have Edmonds, you got to have Connor, because you never know what's going to happen there. And the second one of them's out, it's the other's lone job. It sucks to have to waste your handcuff on. Like we talked about this throughout the year, how you don't want so many handcuffs. You don't want to draft so many handcuffs. But sometimes they help out.
I'm back. It's all good, baby. Yeah, and the thing I don't like is by having both of them, you never know which one's going to go off. I can't tell you, a couple of times after Ronald Jones looked like he had won the job, I would play him in DraftKings, and then he would do nothing the next week.
That's how Brady's teams have been. So maybe it's not Belichick, but it's Brady's fault that every week's a different running back.
Right. Yeah. Keep it teams Brady. On balance.
That fool plays mind games.
Brady's
trying to get defenses to like him just so he doesn't get hurt. That's why he was all like, oh, did you see what he said last week when he's all like, the offense needs to protect themselves better. Like, it's not defense's fault. So I'm like, he's playing mind games.
Just wait and see what happens when Tom Brady becomes a head coach and he wins like 10 more rings as a coach.
Why would he want to? He's done. He's already played long enough. He's done after that.
The guy's crazy. He just wants to have like the most rings of like any human.
Think about how many guys, think about how many head coaches in the NFL he's older than. I think
Kingsbury, right?
He's older than, he's older than Kings. Yeah, he's older than McVay.
There's wide receivers in the league right now who grew up wanting to and dreaming of catching a touchdown from Tom Brady. There's quarterback who dreamed of being just like him because they were kids and watched the Super Bowls. Like, it's ridiculous. I hate talking about him. What's the next subject?
Well, you know, we've already talked. We saved Austin Eckler for you. So now we're going to jump into the main event, el evento mero mero. So, you know, we're miércoles gigante. So one of the things that I did last year that I wrote a weekly column, calling it adentro y afuera. It's the start sit, who's in, who's out. And I just kind of, I thought, you know what, we can adopt, let's see about adopting this on our Wednesday night show, kind of like our preview for the weekend. Who are some of the guys? I mean, I'll throw some of the names out there. I definitely have notes on all the players. If you guys don't agree, I want to hear about it. I definitely want to hear about it.
Oh, you will.
But I know I will. That's why I love you guys. And that's the thing. There's always love. You know, even when we argue, we still love each other.
I wouldn't call it argue. I would say spirited debate, which is always healthy, which is always, it's always fun.
Oh, and speaking of which, Ricky, so glad that you're fine. I'm sorry we missed you at the draft on Sunday. You know, but hey, glad you're good to go. And you know, you still.
Holy crap! I realized when you're not drinking, the draft just feels so much more long.
Oh.
yes, it does. I have a swimming pool, so we were like, make a pick, jump in the pool.
I was literally waiting for, like, I was sitting at my computer waiting, and it took forever. And I was like, this is so boring to me right now, but I was so anxious. Like, it was horrible.
Yeah.
I remember.
It was like waiting for your wife to give birth is what I would imagine.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, we're waiting for our teams to be born. Our team, exactly.
Right. Teams are being born, exactly.
Because I felt like the second Georgia you would text me, boom, I'd have a pick ready.
You did, yeah. I knew I had to be ready because it was.
We did it, so yeah. I mean, we were like you said, Rick. Not only does you know, so when you're drinking, it makes it go faster, but then when it comes time to your pick, it slows down.
Did you guys have a favorite? Did you guys have a favorite pick?
Oh man, my favorite pick was probably AJ Dillon.
Ooh, interesting.
I don't know why.
I picked him. Have you seen him standing next to Aaron Jones? It reminded me of when Derrick Henry would stand next to Eddie Lacy. Oh my God, I just ripped out my headphones.
I remember that.
They used to show
but he's not gonna he's not gonna take the job yet. This ain't no dynasty.
No, I'm not saying that, but I think the Packers are definitely gonna use a little bit of tandem in their offense. I think they're gonna use Dillon probably more than what people think. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm not, you know, we never wish harm, injury on anybody, but if that were to happen, then Dillon would fill in and do well. I don't want that to happen. You know, I picked Dillon as, you know, like RB3, I think. I think I got him in one of the mid rounds, like round 7 or 8, maybe somewhere in there. But I think he'll do well.
I think he'll do well no matter what.
Yeah.
I got a lot of my favorites. So I got Scary Terry, Austin Eckler, and Kyle Pitts. And I got my boy Hollywood.
So I picked Ridley.
I did what your friend said not to do. I waited on wide receiver. I waited deep in quarterback too, because I feel like quarterback, if you get the right one, you can go deep. And I think my team looks fantastic. So
I picked Calvin Ridley on the whip around, and then the next pick went DK Metcalf. So was that the right pick? Ridley,
Who are your running backs because you did that?
It was second round, so I picked. Yep. I picked Jonathan Taylor, and then on coming back around, I picked Calvin.
JT, you went JT, then Ridley, then DK.
No. DK went the pick after me.
Oh,
I picked Ridley. I was a little pissed off when you were asking me for advice because I wanted the damn player, but you're all like, oh, Ricky, who should I take, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my. You're all like, should I take Montgomery or Carson or whatever? And I was like,
Why are you asking him? And
I'm 7 and he's 8.
Yeah, so exactly.
Right after
yeah.
I go,
that was beautiful.
I was just like, oh, my God.
Hey, wait. I don't even remember who I
it was for Montgomery.
I took Montgomery? And you wanted him.
And I wanted him, but
thank you I was leaning towards him anyways. So.
That's funny. I will say for me, my favorite pick was probably getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the second round. I did like the one that
you're
was kind
of
crazy.
Clyde Edwards this year.
Oh yeah, big time. I think he's going to be top 5.
Let me check my picks again. Let me make sure I call out all my favorites.
What do you want for Kamara?
Mike Williams, I love that Mike Williams pick.
I want a house for Kamara.
I'll give you Zeke and some change.
I'm stacking Herbert and Mike Williams. I'm happy with that a lot. Really happy with that.
Yeah, I just realized I don't have a lot. I mean, like my third running back is Jamal Williams. So I'm not. I don't know how much I'm trading running backs, but. Let's get into this. The next section, the main event. So adentro y afuera. So we had the weekly column. It's the Latino version of Start Sit. And this year, instead of going through each game kind of like tediously, and we broke it up over two shows, we're actually gonna give you the highlight players to kind of give you the edge to either start or the sit. So we'll do that. And then we're going to have a longer version appearing in the article that I'm going to drop tomorrow. So vamonos, everybody. So we're starting with what I'm calling the chingon play of the week. And that's Kyler Murray at Tennessee. So Tennessee is a 3-point favorite. It's 52-point over under. And I'm just, we'll talk about DFS later. I know you're starting Kyler Murray no matter what, because he was probably, you know, for if you picked him, he was your starting quarterback.
for sure.
This is just a, you know, a crazy play. I mean, it's kind of a preview for DFS. I'm looking at him. This is a guy who was averaging 30 points per week, which would have smashed what Lamar Jackson had the previous year until he got hurt in week 11. So, and this is a defense that did not defend the pass well. They were number 28 against quarterbacks in fantasy points per game, and they were number 24 against running backs. So, and what does he do? What does this guy do? He passes well and he runs. I think this is going to be a big game. I don't know how good the Arizona defense is. So I think this game has major shootout potential. I think you just load up. And you know, we'll talk about DFS in tomorrow. But I just with him, I'm loading up this team. I'm loading up in this game. So
I just wish I had him in more leagues, but I don't. Because I felt like he was very expensive this year.
Muy.
So.
Muy cierto.
But
so I got the poor man's Kyler and Jalen.
But is Kyler gonna do it this year? I mean,
he will. I mean, Georgie, you're right about all the stats. Tennessee was just horrible last year on defense. And the reason they lost is because Tannehill can't play catch up that well, but now he's got Julio Jones. So we'll see exactly what happens. It sucks to see a shootout for Henry owners, because if it's a shootout, Henry's not going to be able to get his footing probably. They're going to want to be more, you know, they want to be quicker, especially if Kyler's getting touchdowns every other drive, if not every drive. But, I mean, it's going to be one of the most fun games to watch of the week.
It will be, for sure. But Henry has been – they've been adding Henry more to the passing game. So I'm very interested to see – because if Derrick Henry was on my team and I was the head coach –
he looks so awkward catching a ball.
But it doesn't matter, but he still catches it. You know what I'm saying? Once he has – as long as – figure out a way to get Derrick Henry the ball. Once that guy's holding the ball and running, whether it was handed to him or whether he caught it, defenders are terrified to tackle that guy. So I'm very interested this year. I think he's going to be a way bigger part of the passing game than he has been in the last several years. So I think that's going to be a nice little addition to his repertoire. I'm interested to see how that works out this year. Henry's a beast. I think that's going to add to his value.
I just think they're going to get the ball in his hands no matter what. This is a three-headed monster when it comes to the offense. It's Henry, AJ Brown, and Julio. So it's just those three guys are the main men. So I think even in a shootout, he's going to get plenty of play, because I don't think Arizona's run defense is particularly good. So another one, and this is this guy is playing tomorrow night. Tomas Brady. So I look at him, everything is lined up for him. He had that break last year where they had the bye week. Then he came back. In the last seven games, he threw for 340 plus yards five times. And then he was a force to be reckoned with. He was just great. I mean, he is an ageless wonder. And the other thing is, and Carson Palmer has talked about this, how the second year in a Bruce Arians offense, and he speaks from experience, having done it in Arizona before retiring. So that the quarterback goes to a new level. And I look at this one, Dallas, their defense, their defense is still there. It's not coming back. It's not
better,
coming all the way
right?
back.
It's a little bit better than they drafted some guys, and they improved a little bit.
They drafted some guys, but they didn't draft defensive backs, and that's what they needed. They needed cornerbacks.
And they had a safety, and they got like some other guys, right?
Linebacker. It was a great linebacker, you know, Micah Parsons, who's making plays all over training camp and preseason games. But really, they needed guys in the back end,
right?
And so that's why Brady's gonna eat that up.
Brady eats that stuff up. If you're not stout on the back end, Brady will chew you up and spit you out. So
yep.
You're right, absolutely right.
So which running back do you go with for this weekend?
Neither. I'm loading up on the passing game, because Dallas was actually pretty good against the run last year. So they were kind of middle of the road against the run, but yeah, they were awful against the pass. So I think this is everything. They're going to get their rings. The fans are going to celebrate their team.
They're going to be hyped up.
It's going to be nuts. So
do you think it's going to be between the wide receivers, like an equal share? Or do you think it's going to be a blow up game for one in particular, especially because you say Brady's going to blow up?
No, I think he's going to spread around. I think each one. I wouldn't be surprised if all three of the big guns got 10 targets.
Look at the Super Bowl. No. I was just saying, look what he did in the Super Bowl. I mean, he spread it around the Super Bowl, and I think that, you know, that what he had with great success. You know, so I think that was just kind of like, you know, just like foreshadowing almost. You know, the Super Bowl. Like, this is what I'm capable of. Be ready. I think I'm going to keep doing a little bit more of this. Antonio Brown had a TD. Gronk had one or two TDs. You know, everybody was getting the ball. You know, Brady was just, if you have Brady, just, you know, and you don't know where he's going to go with it, which you never do anyway. But these receivers, I mean, he's got, I mean, Jesus, you know, Mike Evans and Godwin and, you know, Antonio Brown. What? Like for real? It's insane. Like this, yeah. Brady's going to do really well tomorrow.
No, he's
Antonio Brown, a wide receiver two in fantasy.
I think it's very possible that he will be. I think he's going to get over 100 targets, and I think he's going to be really good this year. He's going to be very underrated. And the reports coming out of camp are that he looks much better than he did last year. And last year he was on target. If he would have played a full 16 games, he would have gone over 100 targets. So I don't think he's going to get the
– just got someone I want to cheer for.
But now you have a wide receiver committee. You have a wide receiver committee now, you know, running back by committee. Now it's like, you know what, Tom Brady has all these great weapons. It's great for Tom Brady, but if you're a fantasy owner, like we were talking about earlier, you know, who does this week Brady, you know, hits Godwin for 200 yards, and next week he gets, you know, 50 yards, and it's Evans' turn, and the week after that it's Antonio Brown's turn. So it is a little bit of a headache if you have any of the receiving core from Tampa Bay. It might be a little bit of a headache this year if he starts doing that, and, you know, different guys starts, you know blowing up different weeks.
No, we're going to see that. So our last quarterback who is then throw is a little. I'm curious what you guys think. Sam Darnold with his revenge. I like him.
People are hating on Sam Darnold, man. I don't understand why.
Are they really hating?
I'm like on Instagram and I'm reading a lot of articles and stuff, and he's just not. He's not getting the love, man, that I thought he would be getting.
Because, you know, he's never been fantasy relevant, though, let's be honest.
That's why. That's why.
So it's like, now is he going to be a top 12 quarterback? I mean, he's got a phenomenal team with DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and then you got Christian McCaffrey, which is just going to take so much pressure off of him. And it's such a different team going from the crappy Jets to the up-and-coming Panthers.
Right.
So, I mean, and then you also put in the fact that the Jets suck and it's his revenge game, some reason, most of the time teams blow up against them. So
I think
it's, you know, put money on this one. Don't put it on Tom Brady.
No, this is definitely a game where you look at this one. I mean, the Jets secondary, you know, as Max Goodman of Sports Illustrated pointed out, it's not good.
TV.
It's not a good. Well, no, it's just, it's very green. It's very green. No, very sure.
Hey,
young.
Hey, no pun intended, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just like their jerseys. So, you know, and they just lost their best pass rusher to a torn Achilles, Carl Lawson. So, you know, it's, I think the wide receivers and Christian McCaffrey are going to feast. Thanks to Darnold. So, and that'll get into there. So I'm going to kind of, we got three running backs to talk about in here. Gus Edwards, James Robinson at Houston, and Najee Harris at Buffalo. Let's start with Edwards. I mean, the Raiders, I think this is one of those ones. Edwards is going to be the main guy after they've lost J.K. Dobbins and Justice Hill. So, and the Raiders, they were not good against the run last year. And so, I mean, can you imagine Gus Edwards running all over them on Monday Night Football with the first game, you know, with fans in the stands in Las Vegas? Vegas, baby.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Lamar Jackson, though, he's a little bit of a, or how do they say it, attention whore? And I mean that in the nicest possible way. And I only say that because I always go back to the Monday Night Football game. You guys remember when Lamar went for, was it five TDs himself? He either passed.
Was it against the Rams?
Yeah, I believe so. I think between passing and rushing, he had five TDs. And, you know, he's in the end zone, like, you know, flexing. And you know what I mean? But that was crazy. But I think you know, Lamar Jackson, I think he still feels a little bit disrespected and like he's not getting a lot of the attention that he should be getting, which I believe is warranted, you know. So and last year he didn't really do as well. What was he, like the QB 10 last year? Or he was definitely down in the ranks. So I think this year is Lamar Jackson's kind of like second coming out party. I think he's going to look, if they're on, you know, if they're within the 5-yard line, I don't think Gus Edwards is getting that ball. I think Lamar Jackson's going to try to pound it in himself and try to make a name for himself to get in that MVP conversation again, because that's just how he rolls. So that's what I see happening.
And he's better on his feet than he is with his arms. So it's like, why not do that little option play, get it in? And honestly, I don't think it's going to be that big because I feel like, I mean, is Edwards going to be the only one taking the ball, or are they going to give it to, I believe it's Williams?
Tyson Williams.
And I think Jackson's going to be running a lot himself. I think that's what they're preparing for, but we'll see. It's just a committee that last year I didn't want any part of, and this year I still don't want.
Well, Dolphins
is
gone.
Even though it's more clear.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a good indicator, George. Like you're saying, all signs are leaning to Edwards having a big game, and this is definitely going to show us if that's how the season's going to play out.
No. Okay. So James Robinson at Houston. To me, all I needed to say was at Houston, and I'm starting him. I'm starting every time.
Everybody against Houston. Anybody against Houston, you're starting him.
Yep.
I'm making sure to play an IDP. I'm playing a Houston defender because it's like they are going to be on the field all day on defense.
They're going to be getting lots of tackles because, you know, when you're the safety will be getting lots of tackles, which is always a great thing to see. I think he's just going to get plenty of opportunity. That's what it is.
All
and it's
the bad opportunity.
Defense. Bad yes. defense. So, you know, I mentioned Najee Harris at Buffalo. And, you know, some people would say, you know, why Buffalo? But they were not good against the run last year. And
That's right.
And when I sat with Greg Thompson of Cover One Bills, he pointed out, yeah, they're prioritizing the pass rush and defending the pass, not so much defending the run. So a lot of teams are doing this. And, you know, everybody's made a big deal about Pittsburgh's offensive line. And are they going to open up enough holes, or is Najee Harris just good enough to do it on his own? So, vamos a ver.
What do you think, Rick?
I think, it's Pittsburgh. They're going to be running a lot. But, I think don't sit on the Bills' defense. And if Pittsburgh's defense is strong enough to keep down the Bills, but if they aren't and the Bills start scoring a lot, they're going to have to go to, you know, all the receivers and not be able to use Harris. So that's the one worry, because they're playing a good offense. If the offense goes up way ahead, Najee Harris just isn't going to be able to ground and pound as much.
I just remember the days of Le'Veon Bell. And the Pittsburgh offense just has a way. It just seems like whoever the starting running back is on the Steelers just always seems to do well. No matter what the situation, no matter what the game, if you had a running back starting for the Steelers, you got a lot of points. So, and Najee Harris he's just like a different animal. The guys, everybody, Alabama's team last year, I think it was Mac Jones that said that it may have been one of the greatest football college teams of all time. And God dang, man. If you look back at it, wow, man. Those guys, that last year's team was like insane good. So, and Najee was a big part of that. So, I like him tomorrow. I don't care who the team is. Najee Harris was a steamroller, beast mode. I think he's going to go off tomorrow. I like that pick.
Yeah, what did they have? 4 skilled players who were drafted in the first round?
Yeah, like Devontae and Najee.
And actually in the first 20 picks? Something like that. Right?
Yeah, insane.
Incredible. Yeah, and I think they also got a lineman drafted in there.
It's going to be fun to see them play against each other.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
That's going to be a fun game. The Bama Bowl.
A lot of storylines in the NFL. I can't wait.
So let's kind of run through the receivers, the pass catchers. We got Kyle Pitts versus Philadelphia, Brandon Ayuk at Detroit, Wild card here is Marquez Valdes-Scantling at New Orleans. Robbie Anderson against the Jets. I think Heck would have a lot to say about that one. And Brandon Cooks versus Jacksonville. I think that one, that last one, it kind of goes hand in hand with you start everybody against Houston. I think you're also starting everybody against Jacksonville.
No, yeah, it's a great point.
And Brandon,
I'm not a fan of Brandon Cooks, though. I feel like
he's the only guy on that offense, Primo.
He's the only guy.
That doesn't mean he's going to do anything. That,
they're going to throw the ball at him. They're going to throw. He's going to see tons like and tons. Say, it's about
garbage
volume.
Time, Rick. Garbage time, Rick. The entire game for them will be garbage time, like you said.
That means Brandon Cooks is going to get hit a lot, and that dude shrivels on hits. So yeah. I'd rather have Conley.
This is true.
If we're going to go garbage time, I'd rather have Conley on that team than him.
I have a few. I just remember a few times that Cooks really came through in DFS late in the season last year, especially week 17. He was huge. So, you know, Kyle Pitts. I threw Kyle Pitts versus Philadelphia because I heard a note that Tyler Higbee last year, and it flashed me back to Tyler Higbee scoring 3 touchdowns against Philadelphia. Philly did not do a good job defending the tight end last year. You know, 22nd in fantasy points per game. So, I think the world of Kyle Pitts, and I think this could be a big game, a big coming out party for him. The more I think about him, I'm not so much thinking about Justin Jefferson last year. I'm thinking about Randy Moss in his rookie year in 1998, where it was pretty clear that he was a unicorn. And I think Kyle Pitts is that guy.
Yeah, no, exactly. He's a beast. And I think Matt Ryan,
so many
I've been looking around a lot, you know, reading up a lot, and Matt Ryan, there's a lot of folks out there that are projecting Matt Ryan to be a top 10 QB this year. And again, another year that, you know, the Falcons are just going to sling the ball around, and they're going to sling the ball around. And Matt Ryan, being the KG Wiley veteran that he is, I think he knows how important it is to boost Kyle Pitts' confidence and get him in a good place mentally. You know, we talk a lot about mental health and all that good stuff. But I think it's important to get him going, to get Kyle Pitts going, and to have a good first game. That just sets the table for the rest of the season. Like, yeah, let's do this. Like, I have another big game. And because Kyle Pitts, like you said, George, he is a unicorn. The guy's just a monster, and he's fast. He's got great hands and leaping ability and all that stuff. So I think he's going to be great. I think, you know, Calvin Ridley being the stud that he is and commanding the defense that he's going to command, that whole offense is just going to be fun. Gage over there too is going to do some damage. I just can't wait. This is going to be a fun team to watch because their running game is suspect. Mike Davis, people are like, who, what? Like, I don't know about Mike Davis' running game. Like, not a lot of confidence in the Falcons' running game. So this guy, I mean, this offense is going to be pass heavy all season. I think that's why a lot of people have Ryan, you know, teed up as being maybe a top 10 guy. But there's going to be a lot of balls going around. Pitts is definitely going to catch a ton.
All right, well, let's go to the afuera. Vamos afuera.
Afuera, no.
So one of the guys that I put is also playing tomorrow. Dak Prescott. Quarterback Dak Prescott.
I'm cool with that.
Bucks defense, man. We saw what they did in the Super Bowl to our man Patrick Mahomes, and this defense is nothing to play with, man. And Dak might be a little easy on the legs there, on the injuries, and kind of a little bit timid at times. I think – Tampa Bay's going to come at him hard, and I don't know. I think Afuera is a good place for this because I think he's going to have a rough time at this game.
Oh, it just sucks because obviously you have to play him. You can't put him out.
Right.
But I've got him in our family.
I need Dak only because I need Zeke. Otherwise.
Right.
Yeah, because as Dak goes, Zeke goes. And that's the thing. You know, they lost one of their offensive linemen, Zach Martin. No relation. Yeah. And they might be losing. There's another one that's questionable. And I just think with that and the long rehab coming off the injury, I think there are going to be some rest that shows up. And I think it's going to be a tough first game. I think he's going to be fantastic. And add in the offensive line. I mean,
how long is Zach Martin out?
He COVID. So maybe he's back next week. I think I heard something that he was vaccinated, so he might be able to come back sooner.
Just miss 1 week, maybe?
He might actually be ready if he tests negative tomorrow. So,
there you go.
So we got Tua is another one. Tua Tagovailoa And the reason why I picked him is because I saw this stat where the New England Patriots in the Bill Belichick era are 13-0 when rookie quarterbacks are going into New England.
But he's not a rookie.
Although Tua has a little bit of experience.
That's true. You're right.
Young quarterbacks. Bill Belichick is like he's like a mastermind. He's like Dr. Kevorkian.
Chess master.
Dr. Kevorkian, man. Like, he will lead you to your own death. Like,
however,
Tua, he's gonna make Tua like do things like to just make him look silly. Like,
Miami is Bill Belichick's Achilles heel. They took down the Patriots' undefeated season, remember? Didn't they?
Yep.
And they also sometimes beat the crap out of the Patriots, and it's like, how did that happen? So the Patriots do their duty on them, but I don't know. I'm not sure about that one because I love Tua and I have him in one league. And I feel like, you know what? Is this going to be his sophomore jump? Is this going to be him turning into a Kyler like? But I don't know.
I think he would. Just this game, right, George? I think generally speaking, he's going to do well. But against Belichick, that's a whole different thing, man. This guy's the mad scientist, and he just makes young quarterbacks look silly, generally.
we'll see on that one. Teddy B, Hector's old flame. You know, he's going up a great secondary with the Giants. So I don't know if I like him as a possibility.
Hit him most weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. DeAndre Swift. I put him in there.
I don't like this guy either.
Por qué?
Because, I mean, they upgraded the O-line in the game in Detroit, but it's like the San Francisco defense is still top. They still have a great line. And, I mean, last year they had hurt players. So I just don't like it because I feel like it's going to be a negative game script for Detroit. I don't believe in their passing game at all. So,
but they have Jared Goff.
They're rebuilding, Paul. So you don't want the running back when they're rebuilding.
But they have Jared Goff.
Well, I look at Buffalo, and we just talked about Buffalo, but you've got Zach Moss and Devlin Singletary. I put them on this list. Pittsburgh was number 3 in fantasy points per game allowed to running backs last year, and you know. Noah Strackbine from Sports Illustrated, he pointed out that their defense is going to be even better this year from what he's seen. So I'm fading these two guys. They're splitting carries. They're kind of that, you know, similar to what's going on in Tampa. So I don't think so. We talked about, you know, going to the wide receivers. We talked about Kenny Golladay a little bit in the opening, man. And he's gotten no time to really build rapport with Daniel Jones. So, the other one, I'm curious what you guys think. Marquez Callaway against Green Bay.
Garbage time, and the guy is skilled. And you got Jameis, who just throws the ball in the air.
Here's what I'm going to say about Jameis. I think Jameis is getting a bad rap. So far, I think he did fantastic in preseason. I think he's going to do a lot better than what most people think. Sean Payton used to be a quarterback. He's the quarterback whisperer. I think it's going to be kind of like Dennis Rodman and going to the Bulls. You know,
how's he a quarterback whisperer if he's only had one quarterback play the last 10 years?
But that's the thing. You know, he learned from Breezes as much as Breeze learned from him. You know what I'm saying? So I think. You know, Wentz is going to be like Dennis Rodman. You go to a coach who can actually, you know, rein you in. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, tame the wild horse kind of thing. I think Sean Payton's the right guy for Jameis Winston. And I think Wentz is going to show that if Winston would have gone to Payton coming straight out of college, you know, without the Drew Brees thing, obviously, but a better coach than the Bruce Arians offense, things would be way different. Bruce Arians offense is just like a throw it, go crazy kind of whatever, not really disciplined. John Payton is the opposite of that. Completely disciplined, you know, do it here, throw darts there. Jameis Winston is completely capable of doing that. And Jameis Winston is going to surprise a lot of people. I think within a structured offense, he's going to do very well.
I think he's going to do well. I just don't think they're going to win many games.
No, they're going to win games. If you're fading Marquez Callaway, George, who's the guy? I mean, Michael Thomas is out. Who's the guy?
Well, he's saying it because Marquez Callaway is going to be going up against one of the best defenders in the league. Okay, I just feel like eventually the best defender is going to be like, you know what, I'm a little tired. We're up by 30 points.
So for this game, you're fading him. But generally speaking, you think Marquez is going to have a good season?
I think he's going to have a very good season. Okay. For this game, I think this game is going to be huge Alvin Kamara game.
Got it.
The Packers are – in fact, I had Kamara on this list, on the Adentro list earlier, but I was like, you're starting Kamara. That's too easy. But, yeah, Green Bay, their defense – yeah. Green Bay, their defense is not good. No son buenos. Their run defense is not good. So I think that it's just a matter of time before Kamara starts breaking. The last one's Devonta Smith. This one's kind of interesting because it's against Atlanta, and Atlanta was one of the worst defenses. In fact, they allowed the most passing yards in the NFL last year.
They always do.
And but Michael Rothstein, buen amigo and hermano of ESPN, he pointed out during training camp that the Falcons secondary had actually looked pretty good, and it looked very good. And AJ Terrell, who was their high draft pick the year before, he said that he was probably on his way to a top 10 wideout season. So, I think he is more than likely going to travel with the best receiver out there, or he's going to see him a lot. And that is Devonta Smith. So I think in his rookie game, you know, his debut game as a rookie, I mean, maybe it's something we wait a week. I mean, it did take Justin Jefferson 3 weeks before he exploded. So
yeah.
Okay. I'll give you that.
What do you think? Okay. You guys, anybody want to call me loco?
No, I'm not gonna call you loco. And I'm interested in this cat AJ Terrell. I'm gonna have to go to the waiver wire maybe and pick him up.
Oh my goodness!
My ears are perked up. But I did pick up Devonta Smith, and so I'm looking for big things from him. You know, Heisman Trophy winner, obviously. coming out of what we just talked about earlier, Alabama. I'm intrigued. You know, to see if the Atlanta secondary is improving. So yeah, they might give Smith a little bit of fits. Obviously, yeah, he's a rookie. You know, he's got some learning to do. So yeah, give him a couple weeks and. Atlanta could definitely give them some problems. So
yeah,
it's gonna be fun.
They look like they're gonna be a fun team to watch, though. Yeah. The Eagles. Mm-hmm. So.
They're gonna be.
I like Hurts. You picked up Hurts, Rick. You say he's a poor man, poor man's Kyler Murray. I like Hurts a lot. He's not getting a lot of respect. I like him a lot. I think he's gonna do very well.
Well, we did very well today, getting everybody ready for the start of the football season. Eso es todo for our show.
For our first show. Post-draft show. Woo!
Yes. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and for making sure Independent Podcast gets to the Familia community. Please make sure you're subscribing Apple, Google, Spotify. Also, you're getting our lovely faces on YouTube. We're also on Periscope, but please on YouTube, please make sure to subscribe. Give us a thumbs up here and there. And lastly, make sure you're checking out our original content on FamiliaFFB.com, where this longer version of this column is also going to appear. So it'll get you ready for your weekend. You know, it's great. We're not practicing for drafts anymore, Primos. We are practicing for the real deal once a week. And lastly,
we're talking about practice.
Yeah. Please make sure you're following me at Jorge Martin 17. And Hector, where are they finding you?
At what the heck? 2 T's.
Ricky.
At Ricky Torres TV.
Oh, awesome. Primos, let's get ready for some football. Muchas gracias. Muchas gracias to our familia community. And remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.